Yeah, let's turn to the Word of God as recorded in John and chapter 6, the Gospel according to St. John and chapter 6. And I'll begin to read from this one. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sea. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far would they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 5 or 6 kilometers, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But Jesus said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Verse 20 again, "But he said to them, 'It is I. Don't be afraid. It is I. Don't be afraid.'" Dear friends, as human beings, we are often afraid. In order to deal with that fear, we engage in all manner of things. We try to do something to secure ourselves, to protect ourselves, to have some kind of shield around about ourselves. The case of the woman in USA just a few days ago, some of us might have listened to that news item. She decided to be moving with a gun in a handbag as a way of protecting herself, as a way of securing herself. She had that object in a handbag. But the very object for her protection turned out to be the object for her destruction. Her only 2-year-old child shot and dead. Many of us, friends, have fears, have anxieties, have cares, have worries. And especially as we face this year, there are some of us who think about certain things that were worrying us last year, 2014, and we're asking the question, how will it turn out this year? Will I make it? Will I manage? Will I be seen through? Some of us are waiting for results. We wrote exams end of last year. And we are anxious, we are worried, we are troubled, asking the question, will I make it? Those of us that have made it, perhaps no grade 7, for the first time you'll be stepping foot in a Sunday school. Totally different scenario, different arrangement. And you ask me the question, how will I manage? I was able to manage at primary school because it was primary school. But now secondary school. And when you were growing up, you would feel good to go to Sunday school. They would call themselves secondarians. Feeling very, very good. Some of us still, we could have a health condition. We have to discover that last year. It could be getting worse and worse and worse as months roll on. And you are fearful, you are afraid, you are anxious. In terms of what this year must bring you away. Will I survive? Will I make it? Will I manage? Will I get better or worse? I could go on and on and on and on, dear friends. The truth of the matter is that it's our nature to be anxious, to be fearful. And especially as we look ahead at this year. In our exposition of John chapter 6, 20, and especially those last words of that verse, "It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid." I would like us to do so by looking at 3 points. Firstly, what occasioned these words? What occasioned these words? In other words, what made Jesus to say what he said? To say these words. Secondly, what do they mean? Thirdly, what are the implications? So, what occasioned the words? What they mean? And what their implications are? What occasioned? What meaning? What implications? Let's start with what occasioned, in other words. We read, dear friends, from this account that Jesus had just performed a miracle where he fed, I think, close to 20,000 people. We are told here that there were 5,000 men. Without women, we tend to be usually more than men in such activities. Without children, and the children tend even to be more, because by their nature they are inquisitive. So in total, there could have been 20,000. And then after feeding that group of people, we read in parallel passages, Mark chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 14, the same account is given there, that Jesus told his disciples to set off and cross the Lake Galilee to the other side, while he remained dispersing the people. They got into the boat, the disciples started roaring, and suddenly there was a storm just from nowhere. A strong wind began to blow against them, against their direction. They rode and rode and rode. By the way, this lake was 16 miles in length and 6 miles wide. Obviously, they were trying to cut it at the shortest point. But they rode. And they were making very, very little progress. And they were slowly getting drifted away from their destination. Jesus, after dispersing them, decided to go to the mountain to pray, as the other Gospels put it. Obviously, he must have been praying for them. He must have known what was happening, the struggles which the disciples were facing. When they came to a point where they were facing the greatest danger, that's when he came to them. And he came to them walking on water. And the Bible says that it was the fourth watch, meaning that it was between, imagine, 3 and 4 a.m. They must have gotten into the boat maybe around 17 hours, around 5 p.m., or perhaps later 6 p.m. From 5 or 6 p.m., it was now between 3 and 4 a.m. They were very tired. And seeing some creature on the water, we are scared. Mark and Matthew mentioned that actually they thought it was a ghost. They are afraid firstly because the waves are too much. But also they thought a ghost was coming to them. And this is what made Jesus to say those words. It is I. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Friends, by way of applying, you know, that first point in terms of what occasioned Jesus to say these words, it is I, do not be afraid. We see, dear friends, that Jesus is very close to his people. When they are undergoing difficult situations, difficult times, difficult circumstances, he is close to them. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, the passage we read earlier on, God says these words, I have seen the misery of my people. I have seen. When we undergo difficult times, God sees. God is aware. He notices. He takes note of our situation. And then he says, I have heard them crying. When we express our pain, our sorrow, our anguish, God hears. He hears. When we cry out because of our difficult circumstances. And then he says, in verse 8, I am concerned about their suffering. I am concerned about your suffering. He is concerned about your suffering. He is not indifferent to your situation, dear friend. And in case of our text, John chapter 6, Jesus had been praying for them at the mountain, on the mountain, as we're going through those difficulty, trying circumstances. He was praying for them. And Jesus, apart from praying for them, he physically, he deliberately, he consciously comes to them to deal with their trouble. So not only does God show concern, but he comes to you, dear friends. He attends to you. So he comes to them, and he does three things. Firstly, he calms the storm. Secondly, he calms the waves. And thirdly, immediately he gets into the boat. They get to their final destination. They get to their final destination from 5 or 6 p.m. They struggle to cover only half the distance. But the Bible says, immediately he gets in, they find themselves at the final destination. Friends, I would like to put it across to you that therefore, when Jesus says, "It is I," do not be afraid. He means well. He means business. He means it. He is a journey. He is the same everywhere. He is involved in the situation. He means what he says. Are you facing a storm just now? Are you in trouble just now? In a difficult situation just now? Jesus says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Let's come quickly to our second point, having looked at what occasion these words, "It is I." Do not be afraid. The second point, what was the meaning of those words? What is the meaning of those words? "It is I, do not be afraid." Many Bible versions put it in a similar way. "It is I, do not be afraid." I interacted with about 10 versions, and that wording is common across them. But the modern King James Version has the best rendering of this verse. And it reads this way: "But he said to them, 'I am.'" Capital I, capital A, capital M, what we read about in Exodus 3:14. "I am. Do not be afraid. I am. Do not be afraid." This is the same name God gave Moses in Exodus chapter 3 verse 14. As we read, "I am who I am. Tell the Israelites that I am has sent me to you. I am." In the Gospel of John, as one moves on from chapter 1 to the rest of the chapters, we see a pattern there where Jesus Christ is increasingly revealing himself as a divine God. He is revealing his divinity. For example, in John chapter 5, he makes it clear that he is equal in nature with God. He is equal in power with God. He is equal in judgment with God. And he further, in verse 35 of chapter 6, says, "I am the bread of life." Verse 8 controls, says, "I am He." And then lastly, in verse 24, or rather verse 58 of chapter 8, 58, he says, "Before Abraham, I am. Before Abraham, I am." So "I am" in Hebrew means the YHWH, a corruption of Yahweh. YHWH. This name has several meanings, and specifically four meanings. Firstly, YHWH means, or the I am means the self-existent God. He does not therefore need you, nor need me. He can do without us. He doesn't need our worship. When we come to worship Him, we don't engage upon it as a favor to Him. But secondly, I am also means the creator and sustainer of everything. And this is what Jesus was trying to demonstrate when he gazed upon those various miracles, from healing a paralytic person to stopping the waves, the wind, to getting the boat to reach the final destination. He was demonstrating that I am in charge, I am in control, that everything is under me. Thirdly, that word YHWH, I am, it means He is immutable. He does not change, in other words. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And friends, what He did in John 6, He is able to do it to you now, because He does not change. Fourthly, in terms of the meaning of the name I am, or YHWH, the word translated I am also means I will be. And we saw this in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, where God says, and God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. How shall we apply, you know, the second, the second point, the meaning of I am? Do not be afraid. Friends, what it means, and especially if you look at the fourth meaning, I will be with you. Moses, as you face Pharaoh, as you face the Egyptians, I will be with you. He gave that name that was relevant to the situation that was obtaining at the time. I will be with you. Moses was scared to the bone to face Pharaoh. And God is telling him, I will be with you. Don't fear, therefore. I will be with you as you go into the year 2015. I will be with you. Don't fear. But if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, if you're not a child of God, you must face this year 2015 alone. You must depend upon your own formations, or the things that must protect you. You must build upon your own comforts, as it were. Your own means to shield you from danger. In fact, dear friend, you are at the mercy of the devil and his angels, his demons. As Ephesians 2, verse 2, puts it, that that you are under the control of the evil one. Under the influence of the evil one. The Lord Jesus, the strength of the devil, says the thief comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. And he's bent at doing that to you. But then he says, I have come so that you might have life and have it abundantly. The winds, the storms, the waves are inevitable in the year 2015. They are inevitable. They must come. And coming they will. You have no shield. You have no defender. You have no refuge. You have no protector. Friend, you are living dangerously. Will you continue in that state? And this year and forth, living that way, living dangerously? Run to Jesus for refuge while the year is still virgin. We have looked at the occasion of the words, what occasion the words, the meaning of the words. Now we come lastly to the implications, the third point. What are the implications of the words? I am. Do not be afraid. I am. Do not be afraid. Firstly, Jesus, according to the two parallel passages in Mark chapter 6 and in Matthew chapter 14, is one who had told the disciples to go to the other side of the lake, as we noted earlier on. But if the message of Jesus were told them to do that, they make trouble on the way. And then you ask the question, why? Why did Jesus send his people that way, and yet he knew there was going to be trouble? Similar, dear friends, Jesus has brought us to this year. Each one of us gathered here, it is Jesus who has brought us to this year. The year 2015. But the trouble awaits us this year. As I mentioned earlier, this I can guarantee. There will be storms, there will be waves, there will be strong winds. Friends, the Lord Jesus says, I am, for that very reason. Do not fear. He is there to shield you, to protect you, to grant you victory, triumph, success, conquest. Secondly, when Jesus came to them while in trouble, they mistook him for a ghost. They mistook him for something bad, something terrible. Hence they were afraid of Jesus. Sometimes, dear friends, we fail to see Jesus when we're in trouble. The difficulties overwhelm us, that we fail to see that this is God, this is the hand of God. It has come to rescue me. We become afraid, thinking that this thing will disadvantage us, this thing will bring us harm, this thing will work against us. But this, dear friends, means that we need to sufficiently know Jesus. If we are to recognize him, even when there is wind, there is trouble, there are waves, we should not mistake him for something evil, so that we begin to resist God's intervention, because we are mistaken about him. Thirdly, in terms of the implication, if you are not a Christian, if you are unconverted, the name I am, instead of bringing you peace, rest, joy, happiness, tranquility, must instead bring you terror. He stands as judge, your judge. Wicked men were struck down by these same waves in John chapter 18, verses 4 to 6. They account about the arrest of Jesus. As Judas and the band of soldiers were going to Jesus, he came out to meet them and said, "Who is it you are looking for?" Then they said, "We're looking for Jesus." And then he said, "I am." When Jesus said, "I am," the Bible records Judas Iscariot and the band of soldiers that were with him. Friends, we are struck down. They drew back and fell to the ground. Judged by those same ways, "I am." They fell to the ground. How long, dear friend, will you continue to have Jesus as your enemy, to have Jesus as your judge? How long will you go on in 2015 to resist him, to resist his friendship? Let's conclude. Just a few things. Now, firstly, I am, do not be afraid. Jesus is saying to you as you face 2015, as 2015 unfolds, that he is the sovereign ruler of the skies, that all events you must go through, experiences you must go through, he has deliberately allowed them for your good if you're a Christian. The "do not be afraid" portion underscores the inevitability of hard times, of difficult times, of trying times. 2015 must bring you away. In Jesus alone must you find peace, rest, and tranquility. Secondly, the uncertainty of the sea must be noted here. It will become this hour rash the next hour. Similarly, The future is uncertain. Last year, this time, two of our brethren who have since gone to glory, Papa Katewe, Mr. Mtesa, never knew they would be going to glory. They couldn't see, they couldn't tell, they couldn't determine it. Some of us here might be going to glory this year. We can't tell. The future is uncertain, just as is the case with the sea. But Jesus says, dear friends, as we face the uncertain future, I am. Do not be afraid. 2015 may have started well so far for some of us. Suddenly it may change. It may become rough. It may become troubled waters. For some of us, 2015 is already rough. Troubled. Oh, that we might heed these words of the Lord Jesus. I am. Do not be afraid. I am. I'll be with you. Amen.